Because, I mean, free speech is a pure bullshit if nobody knows how you are guided through this so-called free speech, especially when it's to be guided from one hated speech to another hated speech. I just want to have a transparent road through these different speeches, and I want, by the way, to have a sort of public order. I want to avoid racist speech, hated speech, and so on. This is
my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 18th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And we are going to start things off with the third talks, negotiations between the U.S., Ukraine, and Russia, which has wrapped up from Geneva, Switzerland. And yesterday's talks lasted for over 6 hours. They were described as tense but businesslike, according to Medinsky. Witkoff described the talks as productive, positive and productive. And we had the talks today, which lasted just over an hour. Very quick talks compared to yesterday. There are reports which claim that Medinsky, the chief negotiator for Russia, that he held private talks with someone who we do not know who that someone is, behind closed doors. But 6 hours yesterday, under 2 hours today, and today's talks appear to have been behind closed doors, Medinsky and someone else. So the Russians have said that there's no deal that came out of this, but Medinsky described it as businesslike. Witkoff is putting a positive spin to all of this. And Umerov, the negotiator for Ukraine, he said that they are going to have more talks, or the next talks that they're going to have are going to focus on putting together some sort of a document, a framework, which will then be presented to the respective presidents, the respective leaders, to Putin and to Zelensky. That's the goal of the next talks, according to Umerov. Medinsky also said that there's going to be more talks held soon, though he did not specify the date of the next talks. So that's Geneva. That's the third round of negotiations. We had an interview from Axios of Le Gobelin Vert, about a 37-minute phone interview, from what I understand, of Le Gobelin Vert. Zelensky and Zelensky, he is not happy with these negotiations. At least that's the impression that I got from this article from Axios' interview of the Green Goblin. Zelensky says Ukrainian public won't let him hand Russia territory. That's the title of this article. Basically, it is Zelensky giving all the reasons, listing out all the reasons why there will be no peace or no settlement to the conflict in Ukraine. And reason number one is the territory issue. Zelensky told Axios that there is no chance that Ukraine is going to give up any territory, or at least, according to Zelensky, the Ukrainian people would never allow him to give up any territory. What he did say is that if Russia pulls back from their position, if there's a freeze and Russia pulls back from their position and Ukraine also pulls back from where they are, the same distance, then he said this is something that he could possibly sell to the Ukrainian people, that they would that they would be in favor of. But Ukraine leaving Donbas, he said that he would never be forgiven by the Ukrainian people if he agreed to such a concession. So he's talking again about a ceasefire. So he has not given up the idea of ceasefire. Ceasefire, Ukraine pulls back, Russia pulls back. And Zelensky also told Axios that what he would like to have happen is a face-to-face meeting with the Russian president. He would like a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, for which Putin has said, okay, let's have that meeting, but it has to be in Moscow. Fly to Moscow, we'll guarantee your safety. Le Goblin Vert, and we can have that face-to-face meeting. Zelensky's response to what the Kremlin said about a face-to-face meeting was for Putin to fly to Kiev. That was Zelensky's response. But he told Axios once again that a way forward would be a meeting with Putin, a face-to-face meeting with the Russian president. He also complained about Trump and how it's unfair for Trump to be pressuring Ukraine. He said that Trump is pressuring Ukraine because he doesn't want to pressure a big, strong country like Russia. So he's picking on the small, weak country of Ukraine. And he said this is not fair, but he gets along with Trump and he has respect for Trump. And it's a good relationship, a respectful relationship, but he doesn't like being pressured by the U.S. president. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. And he also complained about Medinsky. He does not like the fact that Medinsky is the lead negotiator, or that he has shown up to these negotiations in person in Geneva. He actually cursed about the fact that Medinsky was there. He used the S word. He used the S word. He also noted, this is coming from Axios, he also noted that, like Putin, Medinsky likes to philosophize about the historical roots of the war. Quote, "We don't have time for all this shit. So we have to decide and have to finish the war," Zelensky said. I sound just like him. No, I don't. I don't sound just like him, but hey, that's how I imagine him telling Axios. That's how I imagine him talking to Axios in this interview. Mr. Axios, journalist man, we don't have time for ye shit. We have to decide to finish what? But I don't want to finish what? He doesn't want to finish the war. That's why he put out this. That's why he keeps on putting out this list of demands that he has: ceasefire and meeting with Putin, and Russia withdraws a certain distance, then we will withdraw a certain distance. I don't like Trump, or I'm upset with Trump pressuring me. That's why he always comes up with these lists of demands, so that the conflict does not reach some sort of a resolution. So that's Axios, their article, their interview of Le Goblin Vert. The Axios reporter put out a post on X from yesterday saying that he had two sources. I wonder if I have that post saved, bookmarked somewhere. He said that he has two sources that told him that the talks are stuck because of Medinsky. I thought I had it saved, but I'll put it up on the screen. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Two sources with knowledge told me negotiations in the political group in Geneva got stuck today. The sources said the reason was the positions presented by the new Russian chief negotiator, Vladimir Medinsky. Who are those two sources? Witkoff and Kushner? Witkoff and Kushner, perhaps? Or Umerov and Budanov? Those are the two sources. It's one or the other. Yeah, so they're blaming Medinsky because Medinsky's a tough negotiator. What were they expecting? Someone to show up and agree to all of the demands of Ukraine and the United States? Sure, Putin will fly to Kiev to meet with the Green Goblin, no problem. We're winning the war, but we'll agree to capitulate. Sure. Oh boy, so what else? The British tried to crash the negotiations. They did some negotiation crashing. There were reports that said Germany and France, along with the UK, tried to crash the negotiations. They showed up in Geneva wanting to get a seat at the table, but I should not be crossing here, but it's okay. I'll be all right. But my understanding is that it was only the UK, or at least I can only confirm that the UK crashed these meetings. Starmer's national security advisor. What's the guy's name? Powell. I always think of Jerome Powell. I think the guy's name is Jonathan Powell. But he was seen, and we've got the video. He was seen in the lobby of the hotel. I think the Intercontinental is where this was held. He was seen in the lobby, just kind of hanging around. There are reports saying that he actually had breakfast with Witkoff and with the Army Secretary Dan Driscoll. Powell's presence in Geneva was not announced by the British government, nor have any British officials been invited to take part in the talks. In a report on separate U.S.-Iran discussions in Geneva, the Telegraph mentioned that Powell had breakfast with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Army Secretary Dan Driscoll without revealing any further details. So was Powell taking on the role of Boris Johnson? Just like Boris tried to, well, successfully sabotaged the peace agreement in 2022, was Powell showing up in Geneva to try and sabotage any progress that was being made between the United States and Russia in Geneva? Probably. The Russian embassy in Belgium, they told the Russian media outlet Izvestia that they will be demanding of the United States, one of their demands of the United States, is to demand legal codification of NATO's non-expansion eastward. That's going to be a demand, or that is a demand, that was made to the United States. In other words, they are asking, or they are demanding, that the 2008 Bucharest summit be revoked, the decisions made at this summit be revoked, codified, documented, revoking of the 2008 Bucharest summit. The 2008 Bucharest summit. That's the summit where the NATO alliance invited Georgia and Ukraine into NATO, right? I believe Georgia and Ukraine. I also believe that was the summit where Albania and another country, Croatia, Albania and Croatia, entered NATO, and Ukraine and Georgia got the invite to NATO. That's the Bucharest summit. That's also the summit where the alliance decided that they would move missiles to Poland and Poland and another country. Maybe Germany? But Poland, definitely. So yeah, Russia is saying, you know, everything that was decided in Bucharest, take it all back. Reverse it, take it all back, and we want this thing in writing and more, codified in writing and more, that NATO's expansion eastward ends with the Bucharest 2008 summit. That's as far as this thing goes, and we're going to wind it back. Russia will insist on formalizing the relevant agreements on paper, including reversing the decisions of the Bucharest summit, because all the verbal promises made by the NATO members themselves in the past about the non-expansion of the bloc were forgotten and ignored at a time convenient for them. The embassy explained, noting that documentary evidence of assurances about the alliance's non-expansion is contained in the archives of NATO countries, but they deliberately do not publish them. What was the other country that they said they would move missiles to, NATO? Let me see if I can find it. I don't think I have it handy. Yeah, Georgia and Ukraine. Czech Republic. Yes, Czech Republic. In 2008, as NATO continued its eastward expansion and the United States pursued the plans of deploying missile shield elements in Poland and Czech Republic. Yeah. So they want all of that stuff rolled back. Yeah, NATO will never accept that. The United States will never agree to that. Which would then mean NATO would never agree to that. But that's going to be one of the demands, or perhaps that was one of the demands made by Medinsky to Lukov. So we also had the Iran-US talks yesterday. And Arachi, the foreign minister of Iran, actually put out a positive message about those talks. And he signaled that they're close to putting together a framework to hold formal negotiations, formal talks. So we're at a point where they're talking about putting together the framework in order to get to proper talks, to proper negotiations. But Arachi, he put out a positive note on the talks. The foreign minister of Iran. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Iran has made concessions, if you want to call these concessions, but what Iran is prepared to offer to the United States is that they will pause their uranium enrichment for 3 years, I believe, is the time that they'll stop any uranium enrichment. And they will also move uranium to a third country, most likely Russia. And they want sanctions lifted. They want to open up business and business with the United States, with the collective West, and to have the sanctions lifted. Iran has indicated that it may send some of its enriched uranium to a third country, such as Russia, the Wall Street Journal reported on Tuesday, citing U.S., Iranian, and regional diplomats. Iranian officials also suggested that they might pause enrichment for up to 3 years and floated a proposal to set up a regional consortium to produce fuel plates from enriched uranium for domestic use, according to the report. Teams from the U.S. and Iran met for Oman's mediated talks in Geneva on Tuesday. Uranium enrichment for pharmaceutical medical purposes, but everything else would be paused for 3 years. And the uranium, some of the uranium, most likely to Russia. In other words, what Iran is proposing is the JCPOA, and instead of Europe, it's Russia that takes the role of monitoring that Europe once had in the JCPOA. It now becomes, it might possibly be Russia. But that's what they're proposing. Something that Trump is not going to be able to accept, because Trump's terms are beyond the JCPOA, go beyond the JCPOA. Trump would look ridiculous if he accepted those terms. Israel would not allow Trump to accept such terms. Israel is now telling Trump, and Trump is going along with it, that Iran's ballistic missiles program needs to be scrapped, or at least needs to be limited to missiles with a range of 300 kilometers that are not capable of reaching Israel, something that Iran cannot accept, to severely downgrade and limit their ballistic missile capabilities. That would make them a sitting duck to an attack and to a regime change. So that's where we are with the talks in Geneva between the United States and Iran. Meanwhile, the Trump administration continues to send more military hardware to the region. Reports claim 36 USAF aircraft, 22 tankers, 13 transports, and an E-3 AWACS over Kunduz and Europe over the last 4 hours. We're talking about a massive military buildup, which continues from the United States. Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, he put out a message saying the U.S. president constantly says he has sent a warship toward Iran. Of course, a warship is a dangerous piece of military hardware. However, more dangerous than a warship is the weapon that can send that warship to the bottom of the sea. So he put out this message, and you have all kinds of war hawks in the United States, people like Tom Cotton and other neocon war hawks, very upset with this message from Khamenei, saying that Iran is threatening the United States and that the Trump administration should not accept such threats from Iran. Upside down world. Upside down world. The United States is sending two aircraft carrier strike groups, sending all kinds of military hardware and fighter jets and missiles and tomahawks towards Iran. And the supreme leader says, okay, well, if you guys are going to send aircraft carriers towards us in our neighborhood, well, then we might retaliate. And the U.S. neocons are saying that it is Iran that is threatening. You're sending the military hardware there, but they're saying that it's Iran that is the belligerent and that is now threatening the United States. Okay, upside down world. But they're saying this because they're trying to egg Trump on so that he can go forward with the attack, the operation to attack Iran and to get the regime change that the neocons and that Netanyahu so desire, that they've been looking for how many decades now? Lindsey Graham, Netanyahu, the neocons, the regime change of Iran. So there's a lot of reports about some sort of counteroffensive that Ukraine has launched and has gained something like 200 square kilometers, I think mostly in the Zaporozhye area. And this is a successful counteroffensive that Syrsky and the Ukraine military has launched because Russia's access to Starlink was cut, because Russia was completely dependent on Elon Musk and on Starlink. And then Elon Musk said, okay, we're cutting off Starlink. And now the Russian military is completely blind. Drones are ineffective, and Ukraine has taken advantage of this, and they've launched this very successful counteroffensive. And all of this is according to the Institute for the Study of War, Victoria Nuland's Family's Institute for the Study of War. They're the ones that claim there's this successful counteroffensive. You know, the interesting part about all of this is that not even the Ukrainian mapping channels are recording this counteroffensive. There are U.S. Officials, congressmen, people in Congress, lawmakers, who are going along with this ISW claim of a successful counteroffensive, but not even Ukrainian mappers are recording this counteroffensive, as if Russia had no other way to communicate on the front lines outside of Starlink. They base their entire military strategy and operation on Elon Musk. Okay. Even Zelensky fanboy, Zelensky's number one fanboy, Ukraine's number one fanboy, builds Julian Urobsky. He is even calling BS on all of this. He posted on X, while Ukraine is waging the biggest counteroffensive since 2023, exclusively on X, Deep State UA, which is the mapping, the big Ukraine mapping service, shows not a single new blue area, but Russian red spreading like cancer in eastern Ukraine. And Deep State is one of the worst mapping services there. They're super pro-Ukrainian, obviously. They're super pro-Ukrainian. But they can take 2 weeks to 4 weeks in order to turn something red on the map, Russian-controlled. They'll wait to the very, very, very last minute before conceding that Russia has gained territory. And they're even having to show a Russian advance across the entire front line, as Urobsky is pointing out. So he's even saying that this is all fake news. This is a counteroffensive. It's a super duper counteroffensive that is taking place on social media. On social media. That's where this super duper counteroffensive is taking place. The 2026 super duper Ukrainian counteroffensive that offends me and offends you on X. On X. Maybe there is a super duper counteroffensive, though. Maybe there really is a super duper counteroffensive, and no one knows about it. No one is reporting about it. Maybe the mapping channels have not registered this. Maybe they're being kept in the dark. The Russian mapping channels are not talking about this. So maybe there is a successful counteroffensive. Maybe the Russian military has based their entire operation, or most of their operation, on Elon Musk and Starlink. Maybe that's how powerful Elon Musk is. He controls the fates of both militaries. That's how powerful Elon Musk has become. Maybe. But Julian doubts it. We got reports yesterday that, and this is not going to surprise anybody, this is the worst kept secret of the conflict. The reports are that U.S. and Dutch pilots are in the Wonder Weapon F-16s. They are piloting the Wonder Weapon F-16s. Big surprise. Shocker. I am shocked. U.S. and Dutch pilots flying F-16s for Ukraine. The foreign personnel are deployed far from the front lines and focus on intercepting Russian long-range weapons. The outlet said they are no longer part of the original militaries, of their original militaries, and reportedly work for Kiev as civilian contractors, right, without military ranks and outside the Ukrainian chain of command. Yeah, they're contractors, everybody. So they're in the F-16s, and they're shooting down Russian missiles and drones and whatnot, because no more patriots. Actually, Zelensky, he put out an Instagram video complaining about the fact that Ukraine was going to manufacture F-16s or something along those lines. Ukraine was going to get a contract to actually manufacture F-16s. What did I say? Manufacture Patriot air defense systems. And who knows? Maybe they will be manufacturing F-16s too, according to Zelensky. It depends on how much sugary substance he takes in. But anyway, he said that there was some sort of a deal with the United States for Ukraine to produce Patriot air defense systems inside of Ukraine, and that the U.S. has pulled back on that, and he's very upset. I doubt that that was the case. The outlet that's reporting this about the F-16s is The French outlet Intelligence Online, this is what they reported about the U.S. and Dutch pilots flying the F-16s. Of course, they're contractors. Of course, they're contractors. Not connected to the U.S. military, not connected to the military of the Netherlands. They're contractors. That's the workaround. Register them as contractors. We're not a party to this conflict. We're not a party to this conflict, right? So Orban, he said that the Tisza party, the head of the Tisza party, his main opposition, Peter Magyar, that when he was in Munich, Magyar, he made a deal with the EU that if he wins the elections in April, then he will agree to whatever the EU tells him to do. He will do whatever the EU tells him to do. He just needs to win the elections in April. I've been saying for a while now that Magyar is Ursula's guy. He is the globalist's guy to deal with the Orban headache that the globalists have. That's their solution to Orban, at least their short term, their immediate solution to dealing with Orban is to try and defeat him in the April elections. Orban is saying that there's been some sort of a deal made between the Tisza party and the EU globalists. If they win, they will agree to fast-track Ukraine into the European Union. They will agree to whatever immigration requirements they have of Hungary. They'll agree to whatever the EU tells them to do, whatever the globalists demand of them, they will agree to it. Just let's win in April. That's the deal. Last weekend, the Tisza party made a secret pact with Brussels in Munich. Part of this pact includes giving up its veto power, supporting the migration agreement, and accepting Ukraine into the EU. They are following Brussels' orders and thus dragging us into war, Orban remarked at a meeting of Fidesz and its coalition partner, the Christian Democratic People's Party, which was broadcast on Hungarian M1 television. There was a weird incident during the press conference with Orban and Rubio, where they were taking questions from Collective West reporters, and one of the reporters for Bloomberg, one of the journalists for Bloomberg, I believe, yep, as they were giving questions to Orban, it looks like he was giving them the middle finger. I don't know if he was giving the middle finger to Rubio and Orban or just Orban. I imagine he was giving the middle finger just to Orban, or at least that's how it looks. Looks like he was showing them the middle finger. At least that's what the video shows, or appears to show. But Hungary is saying that. Balázs Orbán is saying at the U.S.-Hungary press conference, Orbán and Rubio, the Bloomberg propagandists, demonstrated what so-called independent journalists look like. This is coming from Orbán's office. So they're claiming that they were getting the middle finger. Very classy from Bloomberg. I've talked about Bloomberg many times. I always get burned by Bloomberg. Always get burned by Bloomberg's reporting. Financial Times is saying that Poland is going to extend its war reparations not only to Germany, $1.3 trillion is what it's seeking from Germany, but it's also putting together a team to seek reparations from Russia. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Warsaw has already sought to claim $1.3 trillion from Germany for Second World War losses and damages. Okay, so Poland is looking for money. They are looking for money. Donald Tusk, money to get from Germany, money to get from Russia. I don't know, maybe money to give to Project Ukraine, who knows. But Lagarde is leaving. She is leaving the ECB, Christine Lagarde, at least That's what the reports are saying, the rumors claim. Lagarde is gone before her term runs out, her 8-year term. She will be leaving the European Central Bank. The reports claim that she wants to leave early in order to help out the globalists in France, defeat the national rally, Le Pen and Bardella. That is why she is going to exit the ECB. There is a globalist emergency that needs to be dealt with in France. At least that's the reports that I've read as to why she is leaving the ECB. And finally, the BBC, they decided to bring out Hillary Clinton in an interview at Munich. Hillary Clinton was at the Munich Security Conference. She sat on a panel with Yolanda Navalny. She talked about escalating with Russia, that the collective West needs to give more money and more weapons to Ukraine. And then the BBC sat down with Hillary Clinton, and she went after Trump on the Epstein files. She said it's a cover up. Hillary Clinton is saying that the Trump administration is covering up Epstein files. That's rich. She also talked about her dislike of Orban and of the way he is running Hungary, does not like Viktor Orban. And of course, more talk about Project Ukraine and escalating with Russia. She does not like Putin either. So that was her interview with the BBC. Somebody said, "I once shook his hand in a receiving line," in reference to Epstein, "but I have no memory of that. I never met him. My husband met him only because he provided a plane to go visit charitable projects that Bill was running on HIV and other issues that were really important." Yeah, when Bill Clinton, that photo of Bill Clinton in the hot tub with some woman or some redacted image of a woman, a girl. Yeah, he was in the hot tub thinking about the charities. Okay, Hillary. And Hillary never met Epstein. Ghislaine was at Chelsea's wedding, right? I believe so. But Hillary says, "I only shook his hand at a receiving line. Never met the guy." And she is now saying that this is a Trump cover-up. The Epstein files are all a Trump cover-up. Trump, he has completely messed up the whole Epstein files things. Bondi, Trump, the Trump administration. They even have Hillary Clinton now. Hillary Clinton is now coming out and saying that no, not me, not Bill. This is your cover-up, Trump. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Yeah, so she dislikes Orban a whole lot. "If I were just an average Hungarian, my attitude would be I want to be electing somebody who's for Hungary, not somebody who is a puppet of Donald Trump." Well, Orban, you should use this Hillary Clinton quote. That will win you the election. That will definitely win you the election. "Hillary Clinton opposes me." then you know you should be voting for Orban. If Hillary Clinton is against you, then you know you're on the right side of history. That's for sure. As far as Ukraine goes, she said, "If you want a just and lasting settlement in Ukraine, you have to better equip Ukraine. You have to give them long-range missiles. You have to provide them with truly adequate functioning air defense systems. That's the only thing Putin will understand." Yeah, they don't have air defense systems, Hillary. They don't have any air defense systems. The United States doesn't have any air defense systems to give to Ukraine. Germany is demilitarized. Most of the collective West is demilitarized. When they produce weapons, they send them to Ukraine. The minute they're done, they send them to Ukraine. Russia destroys them. And they try to produce some more. They send them to Ukraine. Russia destroys them. Yeah, Hillary Clinton has no clue about what's going on. Anyway, we have to listen to Hillary now again. That's how bad things are. Hillary's back. That's how bad things are. Hillary is now back. Oh, God. God help us. So let's do a clown world. And I'm trying to avoid. I really am trying to avoid clown worlds with Stunning and Brave. But every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. She pulls me back in every time. Every freaking time. This is really not her fault, though. This is not on Stunning and Brave. Delphi, this publication, which I know very little about, they have an opinion piece which says Putin may order the GRU special forces to kidnap Kaya Kallas. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that is going to be the order from the GRU to kidnap Kaya Kallas. But they make it out as if they want to kidnap Kaya Kallas because she's taken a tough stance, a hard line against Russia, right? But that's not the reason that the Kremlin would do such a thing. All of this, of course, coming from Trump kidnapping Maduro. Trump really kidnapped the leader of a country. That really did happen. This is nonsense BS. But propaganda, nonsense, BS propaganda. But my sources in the Kremlin, they're telling me that if the GRU was going to do such a thing, it has nothing to do with geopolitics. They want Stunning and Brave because they want to build up their AI. Russia wants to catch up with AI learning models, and they need to plug into her vast wealth of history, historical knowledge, and they need to tap into that brain in order to train their AI models so they can catch up with ChatGPT and Grok and Gemini. So that's the real reason why they would want to nab Kaya Kallas. She's doing a lot of reading. She's doing a lot of reading, and it's a powerful brain that they need to tap into. Has nothing to do with the conflict in Ukraine. Anyway, we are getting reports from Estonia, from the Estonian foreign minister, where he is now saying that if it is necessary for allies to deploy nukes in Estonia, then Estonia would be cool with that. That is what Magnus Tsakhna is saying, the foreign minister, 2 days after Poland's president endorsed the idea of nuclear weapons program. Estonia's foreign minister said his country would welcome NATO nukes stationed on its territory. Okay, domestic politics likely fuels both statements, but I wonder if Europe melts to glass before 2100. That's the post on X related to this statement from the foreign minister of Estonia. I would say that's a pretty bad idea to decide to deploy nukes on your territory, Estonia. I would recommend against it. That foreign minister is quite a piece of work for Estonia. Maybe he's making a run for the clown world of the year awards. Anyway, I will end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. Also check us out on Substack, and I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.